Bente Louise?
Huh?
Bente Louise? No.
No, no. Her last name is Horklau.
Horklau.
And she's married to a German, Joachim, who was born in Germany, had no intention really of leaving, but he couldn't get along with his father. His father wanted him to be, I guess, a Prussian. He came from around Prussia. To do things that was against Joachim's want in life. He didn't want to do what his father wanted him to do. Mm-hmm. So he moved to Norway. And he married Bente. And then he changed his family name to Horklau.
Oh. When was that?
Well, they have two daughters that are in between 20 and 30 years old. And then they adopted a girl from Thailand. So they have three daughters. And Gudrun, who was Johannes' wife, she is still alive and living in Arendal, and she is 95 now.
Wow.
But Johannes died some time ago because he lost the circulation of one leg.
Yeah.
And then he got glaucoma. Huh. And I don't know just what got him in the end, but his life was not worth tinker's dam, you know.
When did you know him the best?
I'm really guessing. I can't remember. I think I can't say that I can remember when.
Was it before you came to Canada? Or after?
No, I started all my genealogical stuff after I came to Canada.
Right.
Except that before that, I'd always jotted down the names and the birth dates of my cousins. I don't know why I did, I just was collecting them. But I really started after marrying Hillary, because, and what really what got me going was in 1992, I visited my godmother, Elise Seastone, in Madison, and Helen was there, and Siggy was there, and Elise were there. And we happened to be in Madison. I had talked Signe into driving down from Eau Claire to Madison, so we happened to visit Elise on the day of her birthday. And they dug up. It was Elisa who said she had this box of old letters. And could I possibly translate one of these letters for the three of them? And I said, yes!
And what letters were those?
Gustav's.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought, wow, this is a gold mine. I said, where's the closest photocopy place? That really got me going. Because then I found a whole bunch of his letters that he had written to his older brother, Hans Christian.
Yeah.
And I wrote a story about him.
Is that the portrait on the wall with the goiter? Is that Hans Christian?
No, no, that's my grandfather on my father's side.
Huh.
His name was Andreas Christoffersen Hellen.
Okay.
And the reason why my initials are AK is that father wanted them to be that because his father used to be called AK.
Akko.
But I couldn't be called Christofferson, so they called me Kåre.
Right.
I tell people now that I read my name is over 1,000 years old. And they say, really? I said, yes.
I thought you would say you're 1,000 years old.
What?
You're 1,000 years old.
I said, you know, the Vikings, they sailed to Iceland, and they came to Iceland in 872. And so there was quite a lot of traffic between the Trondheim area and Iceland, at least during the settlement period. And it was always dicey sailing north, trying to hit Iceland. But they found out that there was a certain northwesterly wind that came, that lasted, usually when it came, it would last for a many, many days. And they used to sit in Trondheim waiting for this wind. And when it came, they just kept their sail in relation to the direction of the wind, and they hit Iceland. So they called that wind Kåre.
Really?
So I said to Chris Hill, there's the origin of my name. And he said, I don't think so.
Well, he's a curmudgeon too.
But I tell people, my name is really 1,000 years old. The genealogy stuff that Hillary now has for my name, there are thousands of records. And it is impossible, without going so mixed up that you finally give up and throw it out, to work on it without getting hard copies.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been talking to her about. I said, you know, if she can transfer those records down here, I will start copying. And I don't care if it's 1,000 pages.
How do you mean copying?
Well, taking it off the computer.
Oh.
Or taking a photograph of the computer screen.
To what end?
To what end? There is so much information in that family history, that lineage.
How did it get on the computer?
Well, we sent our spit to Ireland.
Right, you mean the ancestry.ca stuff?
Yeah.
I see.
Why? It's amazing what they got.
Yeah.
They even got pictures of my mother's passport with her signature, Anna Louise Middelfart, back to 1922 when she traveled to Europe to study further in music.
Wow.
It's amazing what's in there.
That's cool. Where do you think the Irish in your DNA comes from?
I don't know if we have Irish connection.
Yeah, Hillary said there was Irish in the ancestries.
Well, I can tell you, the fellow who was called Adolf Hellberg, he was one of the older sons of my, let's see, great-great-grandfather was called Olaus Hellberg. And he had this son, Adolf, who had a trading center at Karlsøy off the coast of Tromsø in northern Norway. Yeah. And he became a very powerful man on the island. And he had a really good trading there. And he had a fight with the Lutheran minister who replaced the old guy in the church next door to where the training center was. And Adolf had been grazing his sheep on the church property. This second man decided that he didn't want that sheep around and that Adolf had better fence his property. And a relative ignored that, and so the minister slaughtered every sheep on the church land and gave all the meat to the poor on the island.
Wow.
Well, Adolf had a number of children, and he himself died in 1905, I think. One of those sons, whether he was a brother of Adolf or a son of Adolf, I don't know. He moved to Cork in Ireland. And he became something like a mayor or a person of some standing in Ireland. That's the only connection that I know of.
I think that that might be too recent a connection for you to have Irish in your DNA.
Yeah, it would go back, if you go back to my birth, it's just one generation ago.
Not enough.
But he and his wife lie buried somewhere in Cork.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, otherwise I don't know. Hillary would have Irish connections, I'm sure.
Yeah, she does, I know for sure.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to find out, to see what the ancestry kit reveals for her.
Hillary Louise said that that's going to be almost impossible for her to work with, for the simple reason that the Quakers, like your Uncle Bill,
yeah,
he is William the Seventh.
Yeah.
Well, the Hillary's family used the word Mansour.
Yeah.
Again and again and again and again and again.
William Mansour, William Mansour, William Mansour. Yeah.
And it gets, the way those records are set up, they are so confusing that you'd go mad trying to figure out which Mansour is this.
Mm. Well, so, let's see.
You need to have it printed out. That would be the only way you could do it.
Maybe. I think that there is a way to use software specifically for ancestry that helps draw it out in a tree for you and allows you the depth of providing information that you can go in on that you can't achieve on paper.
Well, I would be happy to go that way if you ever find out that that's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it is. Whereas on paper, everything is two-dimensional. But in the software, it can be what's called n-dimensional or three-dimensional, where you can click on one person and find out a bunch about that person. And then click on that person and find out a bunch more, and a bunch more, and a bunch more. And then create a cookie trail to find your way back out. It's a godsend to that kind of ancestry recovery. Well, really.
Well, Hillary last night. She started to show me copies of her screen. And it didn't, you know, it was like three-dimensional, if not even more, four-dimensional,
yeah,
or five, I don't know. I got so confused, I just had to leave because I finally didn't know, who is this? I'd look at it, and it turned out to be my Aunt Wawa.
Huh.
By this point, I was so mixed up. I just happened when she went through a whole bunch of other stuff. There's Frances Herriot. And I said, yeah, that's Wawa. You know?
Yeah.
It gets too complicated.
Yeah.
Are there people who could really do that? If you could get that done for me, I would pay. Not for you to do it.
Yeah. I think that that would be actually a job without end.
Well, I don't ever have the audacity to try to go deeper.
Yeah.
I would just, Hilary Louise very kindly paid for that for me.
Yeah.
But to me, the way it is now is inaccessible.
Well, I have previously purchased Family Tree software. But it's been a few years since I played with it. But it's only bounded by how much information you have. The more information you have to input pictures, stories, birth dates, death dates, the more information you have, the more that database grows, and you can browse and go through it at your leisure. I'm going to dig that up again. I'll talk to Hilary.
It's essential. Hilary will run into the same problem and worse.
Yeah.
It's just like this woman that I, Quaker woman down in Townsville, that we met when we were down there. I've been corresponding with her. And I talked her into getting involved in genealogy.
Yeah.
And she and her daughter started to do what we already have. And they found, for instance, they found a relative in California. Hmm. And this poor woman in California, she was in her 50s or 60s, and she said, I have looked for family all my life. And then you contact me from Australia saying we're related. You know, it absolutely threw her. She cried so hard that they couldn't talk.
It's that important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Well, there's a number of software packages out there that do this sort of thing. And the one that I bought a number of years ago is German. It was very good. I'll dig it up again.
Yeah. Well, as I told you, for me, it's inaccessible.
Yeah. Well, it may be in that format.
Hmm?
In the format that it's currently in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't handle that detail.
You know what was interesting? I was talking with John Spriggs a few years ago, and he showed me, he sent me...
Who's Spriggs?
John.
Oh, yeah.
He sent me scans or photocopies of birth records for his side of the family, and the handwriting was so beautiful that I copied out as many letters as I could, and I made a new font out of it, out of the handwriting.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. I called it Bundok, after the name of one of the relatives. It's really quite beautiful handwriting.
Yeah. Well, I will always be interested in genealogy.
Yeah, sure.
But in 2008, I said to myself, even if there are 1,000 errors in this, if I don't get this on paper now, I will give up.
Yeah.
I was so snowed by detail.
Yeah.
I really couldn't handle it. It was beyond me.
Well, that's why I think it's a job without end.